Good evening, and welcome to another edition of Tribal Campaign 2017, the primary election, and this edition is for the Bald Hills District. In the studio with me right now, we have Vernon Bradley Marshall and Lester White Jr. We got a call from Leonard Maston, who said he's working on a project downriver, and he might make it here, but he kind of doubts it, but he would like to have airtime sometime next week, as we have a full schedule. We got live broadcasts the rest of this week. And Jamie Smith said she's snowed in right now, and so she would like to have some airtime next week. So when these candidates do appear, all the opposing candidates will have equal time. And Marjorie Colgrove, I haven't heard from her. So if she does show up, well, we could fit her in and she can catch up. And also she has access to the radio station anytime that she would like to arrange that. So that's the groundwork for this tribal campaign program. I sent out this information a couple weeks ago, and there's a schedule. So what I'm looking for in this invited session is to go down this list of topic areas, and there's no wrong answers. And I'm looking for people to express their opinions and their based upon their values and what they see in how what they're thinking might fit in these areas. And this is actually a part of our holistic management type of a tool that we want to use here at the radio station. We're trying to help the community come together on ideas, and a way to do that, well, share what you think, share your ideas, share your values, and we do this enough over a period of time, and people start thinking, okay, maybe we ought to go in that direction, and we can make a better decision. So that's the basic premise of what we're trying to build right now. And so I'm really glad you two gentlemen are here to be the first two to voice your opinions in that regard. So I'll give you both a couple of moments to talk about why you chose to run. Let's get that, you know, who you are. You know, we know you're running for Bald Hills District. So let's talk a little bit about that, and then we'll get into these questions. So, Lester, you got here first, so
okay,
you can lead off.
Okay. Hello, my name is Lester White Jr. The reason why I'm running is I could see our tribe going forward in a better direction, I guess. Looking at it right now, our current status is, to me, very poor. If you just look around downtown, look around at all of our districts and stuff, it's pretty bad. But like I said, I want to run because of leadership, true leadership for myself. You know, I spent 20 years in firefighting, and for that should speak volumes on leadership, accountability, and mentoring. With all those, leadership was for me is on a daily basis. You know, making sure that everybody was taken care of and stuff, as which I would do for this tribe. Mentoring is teaching people to better themselves. Also with that, I trained a lot of people, but I always want to make sure that people that I train are better than myself. So this way, when they go on, they could pass their knowledge that I taught them to the other people, and you keep it going. The other things, I look at too is our, one of the questions on here is our environment. My main concern, which I just seen that we had something passed for the water releases for the Trinity River. And for myself, and I know a lot of us fish here, that speaks volumes, because the release of the dams, so later after our runs, our fall runs and stuff, and, with the water temperature and stuff, that's causing all the rot and stuff, which we cannot harvest our fish and can them and stuff. And that's another reason why I want to run, is to be able to say, hey, look, I'm a fisherman too. So, I want to get out there and speak my mind to the outside world and go, look, we're all the same up and down our river systems. Nobody's better than the other one. So if we can all get along, we can work for a brighter future, at least for fisheries as well. You know, those are just a few. But like I said, the main thing I see is a lack of true leadership. And if we could do that and we can get everybody at the table on the same page and actually be honest, you know, with open. I know, you know, everybody has an open opinion and stuff, but, you know, do what's right. So at the end of the day, when you go home, if you have a conscience, you say, hey, look, you know, I did the best I could do that day for the benefit of all of our people, not just some, all. So, you know, that's, you know, some of the things I'm running on. But like I said, we could be in a better place once again. Like I seen, you know, before when we had Bill's Market, Ace, you know, Pistol Pete's gas station open across from the mini mart. We always call him Pistol Pete, but, you know, Pete there. But I mean, now you look at it and we've just dwindled down to almost nothing. Another thing is, too, is a store, and we are in badly need of a store. I hope that the current council, you know, I guess is working on it. We don't get no public information from that. And that's another thing, too, is information sharing. The council, you know, needs to information share more for right now, because all of us are just guessing. Like I said, the store's a hot commodity. You know, what's going on there, folks? You know, we need something now. With all the storms and stuff, you know, my concern, too, is about for our tribal members when we have to travel to Willow Creek. You know, those are the ones who can. The ones that who can't, you know, have to walk or catch the ride over the bus or something to get places. You know, instead of, you know, risking the safety and the lives of our membership here, keep them here. That's why we need a store. Also, too, you know, if we want a loaf of bread, are we all going to run to Willow Creek for a loaf of bread, you know? So, but there's many things that, you know, I have ideas, and I just want, you know, if given the chance to get in there, you know, to prove to people, you know, hey, you know, I could lead up. I don't want to lead down. So, and I'll end it on that.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Joe. And thank you, Lester. I'd like to really say an extended thank you to Joe for having this type of broadcast. And I'm really appreciative that Lester has shown tonight, because I think that shows a lot that you're willing to step out for the community by being at these types of forums to actually talk about the issues that our community faces. With that said, I chose to run because of a base feeling I have of community. And how do we fit in this community? What are we going to do to help sustain and provide a stronger community? I was born in the area. I was brought up here. Went to school from K through high school. I worked at the grocery store. Oh, gosh, 4 years of my high school years, I worked at Pete's Gas Station. Mm-hmm. This is my community. I left the community after college to go to work. I had to leave for work, which I did. But even while I was gone for the large number of years that I was gone, I was still commuting home on a weekend basis. So I drive home late Friday night, drive out Sunday late in the evening to go to work on Monday morning. But I've always had a call to come home. And I believe that we as Hoopa people, this is our home. No matter where we go in the world, how far we travel out in the world, this is our home. And so how can we make our home better? What we create is what we live in. And so in order to live in the world that we want, we really have to come together and create the society, create the world that we choose to have here in Hoopa. Hoopa has always been a beautiful place. It's considered one of the most beautiful spots within America, if not the world. I may be a little biased on that. I think it's probably the most beautiful place in the world, and it is home. I think that the area that we've come into currently, we're not transparent. And to me, I've always wanted transparency. When I was on council and we had a changeover halfway through my first term, I pushed with council to have general meetings. And what we came down with was a consensus from the council members there to have quarterly meetings. After I went off council, those quarterly meetings stopped. I tried to do my best to have an open door atmosphere so people would know what was going on. That has seemed to have ceased. It seems to be very closed. It's hard to get information of what's going on. I pushed to try to get what I was calling a shareholders report out to the people. I got a lot of obstacles in that arena, but I feel that as a tribal member, we should be able to know on a moment's notice, where are we at financially? Financially right now, the tribe is not doing well. every 2 weeks we're struggling to make our payroll of some 800,000 or thereabouts. We're borrowing from Peter to pay Paul. Peter doesn't have the money. I'm looking at the budget. The budget right now, we're in continuing resolutions from the 16 budget. We haven't approved the budget. We have not approved the 16 budget. We're continuing resolutions, off the 15. We haven't approved the 16 budget. The 17 budget should have been out about a month ago. So there's a direct problem with what's going on within the body that we're not being able to get these budgets out. To me, budgets aren't that hard. It's same as a bank account. Either I have the money in my bank account or I don't. If I don't have it, I don't spend it. I know that the budget that we approved for 15, it was about $67 million or thereabouts, and we were $2 million over on that budget. The budget that came in from the chairman's office this year was at $95 million. The question I had was, we have a difference there of about $30 million. Where's that money coming from? Because I don't see it. We can fall back and say grants and everything else, but then we're looking at an administration that came in that's cutting funding across the board. You know, I'm looking at EPA. EPA is pretty much on the chopping block. I've asked about the EPA department, what contingency plan does the tribe have in place in case we lose all EPA funding? There is no contingency plan. What planning do we have in place with education? Because Head Start right now is kind of on the chopping block with the administration. Do we have a contingency plan in place with that? If we look at our compact funding, which is our base funding that we have to survive, if that's cut under this current administration, what is our contingency plan? How are we going to survive? We went through a whole area where we had the federal cutbacks a number of years ago, and the tribe never cut back. We spent more. And that took from all the cash reserves we had, and that's where why we ended up where we're at today in the hole with the funding. With the money that came in with the RAMA funding, which I was here at your radio station talking about the RAMA funding and the IHS funding, I was one of the lead negotiators with our past chair, Danielle, to bring that funding in from the IHS settlement, which was over $5 million, so like $5.4 million. And at that time, I was looking at what can we do to benefit the overall community with that money. And I know that there was talk amongst some of the staff on the Kamel side, and I'm not belittling staff over there, but there was talk about how they could give raises to different things and the stuff they had wanted. What we as council at that time did was put it into a motion, which I made, to try to do a rehab aftercare facility within our area. I knew I wouldn't get all the money for it, but that was a way to have us slow down a moment and look at the funding. I asked Kamel to come back with an idea of what they wanted. We were talking of trying to get additional dentists in the area, enlarging the dental facility. We were looking at trying to bring dentists in to do prosthetic teeth for people here. I was looking at outside membership. Was there a way that we could actually take the medical care that we have here through prescription drugs? Is there a way that we could mail it out to the off reservation so they would have the same benefit? There was a lot of different things I was looking at of trying to make happen. With a larger $8 million plus, I was hoping that we would have taken some of that to put into our infrastructure, because you look around our entire community, we have failing infrastructure. The grocery store that's closed now, that was built about 40 years ago, and we didn't put much money into that. And that really hurt us in the long run. We had an education building that had to close because it was condemned. It was unsafe for children to be in. And so where's our infrastructure funds? How are we building our own community? I think that we have to look at ways that we can be self-reliant instead of looking at the federal government to try to provide, because those dollars aren't there. I know that you yourself, Joe, you struggle with federal funding to try to even make the radio station survive. And you have to fall back on the federal dollars, which comes from compact dollars. If those compact dollars are cut, how are we going to even sustain our radio station, which I've always been proud of this radio station, because we were one of the first, I believe, in the country to have a native-run radio station on a reservation. I think that Hoopa people, there's a lot for us to be proud of, but there's a lot of stuff that we need to do to include the entire membership, to make our community something that we're proud to live in and something that we're safe to go home to. We need to really look at our infrastructure. We need to look at how we work to sustain information to all members, not just a small handful, but to everybody, so you know what's going on. We're all a part of the tribe. If it wasn't for Lester, if it wasn't for you, if it wasn't for me, we wouldn't have a tribe. It's everyone coming together, but you deserve to know everything that's going on because you are a part of this. And so with that, I ran on the basis of not so much what can my tribe do for me, but what can I do to help my tribe and how can I take us forward? And are there ways that I can look outside the box using my past experience to bring a new idea, new suggestions, a new look in that prism of our tribal governance to make us a better people, to make the community better for everybody?
Okay. Thank you very much. We just heard from both the candidates, Lester White and Bradley Marshall. Give you a couple of moments here, catch your breath, and I'll get into the five areas that we would like to have you addressed. And I'm thinking about environment and looking at the pillars of what makes a community. You know, what are the standards that are the things that make us tick, the things that help us survive? And basically, it's the environment. You know, what do we do about that? And the way I put this, I'd like to have you address this with a focus of your core values with respect to the quality of life you want to leave for our next generations. And in the environment, what are your thoughts on the quality of our overall environment now and what you want it to be for our preschool students by the time they're in high school? Would you like to start now with Lester?
Okay. Well, as you can see, I brought my notebook today, so or tonight. So for right now, to me, our environment is poor. We have dump trash on the valley floor in our mountains. Where they are dumped often leads to our feeder streams, our creeks, which lead to our river. All the toxic pollutions affect us and our drinking water and fish. You know, like I said, it's you could just drive around to any off-road between here and Wichipec. You know, there's trash everywhere. And stuff, and it's a shame because, you know, like I said, you know, we have the most beautiful place in the world here, you know, and why do we, you know, allow it to continue to be abused? And, you know, and the main thing is, you know, we have some programs and stuff, you know, hopefully TEPA, you know, like you said, it's the EPA dollars might be going away. But even volunteering, you know, to help, you know, clean up our valley and stuff, you know, one district at a time, you know, and it just starts with a handful of people. excuse me. We used to do this before, you know, a few years here, a few years there. I know working with Fish On, I know we did, I think it was 97, the later part of 97 or the summer of 98. But we started at Tish Tang and we came down to the shopping center. Then the next day was the shopping center down to Red Rock. And so, you know, just doing that, at least cleaning up, you know, along the river bar, getting kids involved. And that's the main thing. If the kids, you know, see where our valley's going right now, and then do you think that they're going to want it later on like that? I don't think so. So for me, I guess our solution would be to teach our youth to recycle as one. You know, we all recycle. I do it and stuff. I got a big can, you know, pile of cans and stuff out back. But, you know, I take it and recycle it. Show them the effects of dumping trash and the harmful damage done to our lands, our streams, our rivers. Education through films is a great one. Guest speakers, you know, from the EPA or local Forest Service or somebody to bring in and show them films, you know, educate them on, look, you know, if we continue on this, this is what our lands, not only here, but everywhere are going to look like. And also, too, is, yeah, just get them to interact, you know, ask them questions, have them raise their hands, get them to interact. Also, you know, involved with our environment, after all, we are all the protectors of Mother Earth and our valley. So, and that's mine for the environment. So there's so much more I could touch on. But, you know, to me is dump trash is my number one priority that I see that is ruining our valley.
Okay. Thank you, Lester. And Bradley.
That's a very good answer.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Hey, you've been thinking about this.
Yeah.
you know, when you ask, what are we going to leave for the next generation and where are we at within the environment today? I think that you're talking social. And it does tie together with the environmental world of EPA and everything of that nature. But I think that we're one of the very few cultures that are extremely wealthy and lucky to have sustained our culture through everything that we've gone through. You can look at the DOS Act. You can look at termination. You can look at all of that, all of the transgressions that have happened over our generations, and it's within living memory. And through all that, we've been fortunate to maintain a strong living culture. And through our living culture, I believe that there are ways that we can look at how to start changing our viewpoints back to what our, I think our core values are. Within our culture, there's a way that we treat each other. Every day, we're supposed to be in prayer. You don't create a piece of jewelry, you don't create a dance regalia without being in prayer, without being in a good spot. And I think that's something that we can fall back on to help the next generation to understand this is who we are as Hoopa people. We have that strong living dynamic of our culture. And it does change, and that's one of the miracles for us to be able to sustain ourselves is that we've been able to change with the times and not become stagnant, which other cultures have become stagnant. I think that through that process, you can start talking about the surroundings that we're in. As Lester mentioned, we have open dump sites, I think, virtually in every stream bed around. We have one section up on a hillside where they had been dumping feces when they were picking it up off the pooper trucks, and that has to be cleaned up. And I know Fillmore's working on cleaning that up. But then you can also look at the different departments and the support that the departments need to actually do the good that they're looking at, and not into the micromanagement over the departments saying, I want this or I want this for one specific area, but what are we going to do for the overall? And then look at our education system. How can we start integrating our tribal beliefs within our education system? And we do have a bit of a separation there because one is under state, the other is a tribal nation, and then you have the separation of church and state. But I think there's ways that we can start embedding. I know that the school has had environmental youth program going on, which my sister Teresa was one of the founders of it many years back, was just at a fundraiser the other night for that program to go again this year. But through those type of programs that we have in place, we can really start embedding in the future generations of how to take care of our land here, how to sustain our community. I think that we also need to look at education. We have a phenomenal education department here. We're, I think, the only tribe in California to have a branch campus. We're, again, the forefront with that. Start looking at the classes that are offering there. Are there ways that we can bridge the gaps that we're missing right now in our society? I think that there's things where we can do more to teach about small business, to grow your own businesses, teach about the environment, and how do we maintain a clean, healthy environment. There's just so many different areas and avenues that we have at our fingertips that we can make use of. We just have to work as a tribal government to promote those different entities and not try to micromanage them and not look at the smaller picture, but look at the large picture of how do we move forward. And then I think the tribal council as itself, we really need to come together and form an idea. I know that we went through the process of creating that document not too long ago, which was supposed to be a guiding force. And Joe, help me out here. I don't remember the name of it, the document that you were a part of it.
Oh, the SEDS
document. Mm-hmm. And that was supposed to be our roadmap. When I start working on that, I start looking back at the overall history of our tribe. And when was the last time we actually had that roadmap approved by the tribal government and put out to entities to start following? And my gosh, that goes back to, I think, early 80s was the last fully approved SEDS, and that's when we were moving forward. And so with the grant that came in, we spent a lot of time putting that SEDS document together, looking at economic development, looking at everything that we had, all of the tribal entities, looking at all the resources that we had at our fingertips. But we need to really put that into practice and bring that to the forefront for people to move forward. Another thing I think that we're missing right now that I've seen in past administration was weekly meetings with, or at least monthly meetings with the top management to come together to find out what everyone was doing and how we're working together. Was that successful? Was it not? I think that could be debated, but it was an opportunity to come together and say, how are we working with the community? And I think that today, the council should be involved in that as well to bring their departments together and say, this is a plan that we have approved. This is a plan that was out to the general membership, and the general membership wants us to move forward on. how can you get us from A to B in this plan and start moving forward and set up as tasks? What task is going to be the first task, second task, and build those blocks to take us forward? That's something that I think that if we have a strong council, we can really unite and push. Unfortunately, right now, I think that we're running with a divided council, and we see ourselves just kind of spinning in a circular motion of not really doing I think what each council member really would like to do because of the obstacles that they're hitting within their own body. And so working together, teaching the children again on the culture, because within our culture we had to work together to survive. If we didn't work together 200 years ago, we wouldn't be here today. So we have that within us. It's within our genetics to be able to work together. We just got to relight that fire.
Okay. Thank you very much. I'm talking with Bradley Marshall and Lester White Jr. running for the Bald Hills District seat on the Tribal Council. And so we'll continue on with our discussion. And Bradley, Lester, you started, so Bradley, let you. You could probably continue on with what you're just talking about if we focus on the economy now. And the question I posed for everyone was on the premise that replacing imported products and services best improves a local economy. What are your thoughts on how we as a community can help serve each other's needs? In this effort, how best can tribal government contribute?
Okay, Joe, I just got to ask, who wrote your questions? Might have to run that one by me one more time.
Okay, talking about product replacement. We spend a lot of time and a lot of money out on the coast. And how do we get those products here?
Well, I was joking with you on that one, Joe. well,